Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it is good to be here. Pastor Rosh, everyone, thank you for welcoming me and my family today. Also, thank you so much for your prayers and your support over these past few years. I just want to say, as your most delinquent member, hello, it's good to meet you all finally. Look forward to getting to know you more after the service as well. Today, the focus of our message comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And in this reading, Paul is beginning this letter with a very good place to start no matter what you're doing, and that is with thanks. Thanksgiving, sharing what he is thankful for and what the Lord has done. And he's recognizing something that he's thankful for in the Thessalonians, some good qualities that they're doing, things that they're displaying. And he's saying, thank you, not just to them, but recognizing that these good things come from God himself. In this letter, Paul is also recognizing something else. He's acknowledging that they are suffering. He's acknowledging that this is a very difficult time for all of them. If you were a Christian living in Thessalonica at this time, these were tough times. Because of your faith, you would find yourself marginalized. You and your family would not have the same opportunities economically that others had. You would forego those perks. You had the risk of having your possessions or your home confiscated or burned down, or to have your family separated and sold into slavery. You could find yourself beaten, jailed, or even killed. These were the times. But Paul is also acknowledging that through this, or in spite of this, that these commendable qualities are still coming through, so much so that everybody is taking note and giving thanks to God. He sees these three things and he points out in the text, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So there are these three things, works, labor, and endurance, and each of these things has a source. Those sources are faith, love, and hope. You're probably more familiar with that trio in a different order from 1 Corinthians, faith, hope, and love, but here he puts it in a different order with hope at the end. And there's a reason for that, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. In the Greek, this is so much more terse. It's just work of faith, labor of love, and endurance of hope. Paul just making the point that these are connected and that one springs from the other. And let's dig into this a little bit. What does he mean when he says work produced by faith, or work that somehow comes from faith? These works are just plain and simple the good works that come from the life of a Christian. They're the good works that God prepares in advance for us to do. These works can even refer to a type of evidence or a proof, because they are the works which show themselves in a changed attitude, changed behaviors, changed lives. They become a type of evidence that points to the fact that the gospel is powerful and at work in our lives. It's proof that Christ is in action in the life of a believer. My own testimony has something like this as well from my high school years. There were some classmates that shared the gospel with me as a high school student. And before that, I was an angry, isolated teenager. I looked for trouble and found it pretty well. And after the time with those classmates, and they shared the gospel with me during cross-country practices, and it changed my life, and it was something that people noticed. I didn't notice it so much, but others did. And the teachers were talking about it, and my parents were scratching their heads. And one day, my parents said to me, "What happened to the old Stephen?" I didn't know what they meant, but they said, "It's not a bad thing, but we've noticed you're kinder, you're peaceful, you're going out of your way to help people. What's going on? And I couldn't really perceive what they said, but I did think about it, and I said, I'm not sure, but all I can guess is it has something to do with Jesus that my friends have been sharing with me. And that was profound. And they thought, if Jesus can do this to our son, he must be powerful. And so at that time, I couldn't explain it very well, but I said, why don't you come to church with me and hear it for yourselves? And they did, and that change swept through my family at that time as well. Some of my first prayers then, as I began to pray more regularly, was that God would use me in the same way to share those powerful words of the gospel, that gospel of Jesus Christ, and that lives would be changed. And in some ways, that was a dangerous prayer. God answered it, and he used even me to do that in many parts of the world. And it is so amazing to see that gospel, to see Christ in action, the lives of people here and in Asia. I've seen hard-boiled communist officials who renounced all religion worship the living God. I've seen people give up idols to go from idol worshiping to worshiping the true living God, and even burn their idols and their little altars as well. About 30 years ago, there was a young man in Thailand, and he met a missionary who had just arrived. He was building relationships with young adults, late teens, early 20s, and he shared his life with them any way that he could. He taught English. He took out his guitar and taught songs. He taught the Bible. He mentored them and shared his life with them. That time and those words of the gospel profoundly impacted one young man who at the time was described, he had described himself as proud, judgmental. He was into drugs, was trashing his body at the time. And the gospel profoundly changed him. People saw his change as well. He became humble. He became a servant. He gave up his drugs, which were his idol, and began to follow the living God as well. People were amazed at this, and all he could do was simply point them to Jesus who had changed him. This man went on to become a pastor in Chiang Mai, Thailand, and he's still a pastor in Chiang Mai. And those works are still evidence of Christ at action in his life. And as he shares the gospel now with the next generation and the next generation of people there, the gospel is changing those lives as well. Works that come from faith. Now, Paul talks about another thing, labor of love, labor that springs somehow from love. Now, what's the difference between labor and work? They kind of sound like the same thing. But what Paul means here is difficulty, toil, suffering. The word is sometimes even translated as tribulation. This is really difficult, tough stuff. This was happening in Thessalonica. The people experienced labor. They experienced suffering at a deep level. They could have ended it. It would have been so easy. All they had to do was just turn their backs on Christ, just renounce their faith, and it would have been fine. But they willingly suffered. They willingly endured this labor. Why? Love. Because of their love for Christ. What would you endure? What tribulation would you accept for those that you love the most? It would be a lot. Their deep love of Christ allowed them to suffer deeply, even to carry the crosses that Christ carried as well. They wanted to become like Christ in every way, including his suffering. And there are still so many ways that Christians today suffer and experience tribulation. Asia is still a tough place in some ways. There's a church planter and a pastor in one part of Asia who has a scar running from his waist all the way up to his chest, where he was held down and marked with a knife as a warning and a sign of disapproval in the community of his faith and his attempts to share that faith. there's another pastor in another part of Asia who was arrested and prosecuted for the crime of proselytizing and trying to convert others from Hinduism or Buddhism to Christianity. He won his case, but spent several years in courts and faced several years in jail if found guilty. Others are threatened with death. Some are met with death. They're not just empty threats. Homes are burned. Jobs are lost. Families shun them. Respect is lost in the community. The list goes on. But they do it. They continue to endure it. And they do it with joy. Why? Because love. The love of Christ, including his cross. But it's not just their love of Christ or their love for Christ that allows this. It's Jesus' love for them. It's Jesus' love for us. In fact, we have no better example of suffering and tribulation that comes from love than from God himself. God who loved the world so much that he gave his only son, gave him up to death. And Jesus, who out of love for you and me and billions of people, past, present, and future, he suffered. He endured ridicule, rejection, poverty, exhaustion, false accusations, beating, mockery, and even a cruel and painful death. Why? Love. Because he loves you. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And that joy is you. You are his pride and joy. And this leads to the third thing, endurance of hope, endurance that springs from hope. Endurance here can be translated patience or long-suffering or just putting up with something unpleasant for a really, really long time. It speaks to the fact that sometimes our troubles, sometimes our tribulations are not temporary. They last for a long time and just keep going and can grind on. Sometimes I think we as Americans think of difficult situations like a sitcom. It should be over in 30 minutes and then we get on with life. But it's not always like that. This speaks to the fact that some of our troubles will last a long time. Before living in Thailand, my family and I lived in China for about 15 years. And during that time, we got to know some rare Christians who were fifth generation Christians. This is a place where there are so many new Christians, very few second or third generations, but occasionally we've met these fifth generation Christians who pass the faith on to their children generation after generation. And their story, their entire family history, is a five generation story of poverty and struggle and foregoing the perks and expectations that others in society could look forward to and expect. Why did they do that? Because of hope. Hope in their Lord Jesus Christ. For the Thessalonians, their situation just kept grinding on as well, so long that some of them were passing away before they saw their hope realized. And they thought that those who had fallen asleep or passed away before the Lord's return would somehow miss out. And so their hope was lacking. And this is why Paul puts hope at the end to emphasize that. Don't lose sight of that hope. You have that hope. And in Asia, sometimes, well, things are better. Sometimes they're worse. They go up and down, but it always seems to cycle back to difficulty of some kind. But God gives his people endurance to keep going through those situations. And this endurance also today, whether it's Asia or right here in Appleton, it comes from hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. A quick vocabulary review. Hope is not something that we just strongly wish for. For example, sometimes in Asia, I strongly wish for a good pepperoni pizza. I can wish all I want, but it's not going to make it materialize. Hope in the Bible means something that we're absolutely certain of. Here, it's an absolute certainty in Jesus Christ. It's being absolutely certain that God is with me no matter what. It's being absolutely certain that he will forgive me, renew me, strengthen me on this journey, no matter how difficult or how long it lasts, and being certain that he will come again to take me and all believers to be with him forever, whether we are still alive in this flesh or have passed away and will be brought back from the dead to see him at that time. I am absolutely certain of this fact. One example of this that stands out in my mind so strongly after many years goes back not to Thailand or Asia, but all the way back to my year as a vicar quite a few years ago. I was a vicar in Illinois, and at that time, this was the year that Hurricane Katrina ravaged the South, and my church sent some teams down to clear the muck out of the houses that the floodwaters had brought in and tear the drywall down from the houses so that they could be rebuilt. And on that team of about 10 people, there was another pastor as well. And a local pastor came and visited us one day and said, would you guys, the vicar and the pastor, would you be willing to help out with some spiritual needs? We're stretched pretty thin. There's a shut-in who needs visiting. And if you'd be willing to go and give a devotion and bring communion, it'd be a big help. Well, after several days of the hard labor and the heat of mucking out these houses, we thought, that sounds like a pretty good idea. So we handed our shovels to others, and we headed to a nursing home. It was the most surreal thing I've ever seen. It was a 5-story facility, almost completely abandoned. Nobody at the front desk. The lights were off. He was on the 3rd floor. We walked through several dark corridors up the 3 flights of dark stairs and down these dark hallways to find his room. It sounds like something from a horror movie. And we finally found him. His name was Al, at the end of the hallway in this room all by himself. And we said, "What's going on? This place is deserted." He said, "It pretty much is. There's a nurse that comes by a couple times a week to check my vitals, but it's just me." "What about your family?" we asked. "They're not around. They don't visit often." And as we visited with him, we got this picture of a man who had been abandoned. He was lonely. He was angry. He was bitter. These were not good times, and there was no way to sugarcoat this. But we did have the Word of God, and we poured in words of hope. We poured in as much encouragement as we could. We also gave him the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and we prayed with him. We spent time just being with him as well. And after we were done, we were getting close to being finished, I had this great vicar idea. And I thought, you know, Al, I just want you to know that no matter what, Jesus is with you, and the body and blood of Christ that you took today is a powerful reminder that Jesus Christ is right here with you and he always will be. But I said it in kind of a way like I was the first person on earth who'd ever thought of this. And he looked at me, and without saying anything, his whole countenance, without words, spoke to me and said, "You whippersnapper." And then he said, "I know that. You don't think I know that? How do you think I get through all of this? I know that my Lord is with me, and I know that I'm going to be with him forever. I know that." I had made the mistake that the presence of the sadness and the anger and the bitterness and the situation somehow meant that there wasn't hope. But the hope was there. And in fact, the hope was even stronger because of his situation. And it wasn't just an endurance to suck it up and get through it, but a longing expectation that his Lord Jesus was going to make good on every promise that he ever made. I know that. Christians all over Asia, they are also lonely. There are so few of them. They feel so isolated, so oppressed, so beaten down. But the hope of Jesus Christ, they know that. And I hope that you know that too. What are you enduring? Is it persecution or tribulation of one kind or another? Is it sickness? Is it fear? Is it your own sinful nature? Whatever it is, hope. Be absolutely certain that Jesus is with you. He will bring you through it all. And on the last day, you will stand before him face to face and you will rejoice in his salvation and he will rejoice over you, his pride and his joy. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hey, thank you so much for spending some time with us and worshiping with us online today. We are so glad you fed your faith through the work of Mount Olive, and we'd love to know that you fed your faith. So head on over to MountOliveAppleton.com and click the online friendship register, or just click the link in the description here. It takes about 1 minute to fill out. Thanks so much for spending time with us. God's blessings on your day.